is VOA News via remote. I'm Joe Palca. Armenia and Azerbaijan are accusing each other of targeting civilian populations in a dangerous flare-up over the disputed separatist enclave of Nagorno-Karabakh. As the newly reignited conflict intensifies in a second week of fighting, diplomats from Moscow to Paris are scrambling to try to persuade the warring sides to agree to a ceasefire. But missiles and rockets continue to rain down, despite a call, too, from the United States for a halt to the fighting. One of the most noteworthy allegations about the fighting that started between Azerbaijan and Armenia due to the Nagorno-Karabakh issue was that Turkey was sending Syrian jihadist militants to the region to fight. Although this has been officially denied, reports by the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights seems to confirm these allegations. The statement that was published on SOHR's webpage claims that 4,000 Syrian militants have been sent to Azerbaijan so far, and 320 of them have been delivered to Azeri officials through Turkish companies. A few hundred demonstrators marched through central Athens on Tuesday as NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg held meetings with Greek officials. Holding banners with such messages as "NATO killers go home," the demonstrators marched past Parliament before sending their protests peacefully. Stoltenberg was in Athens on a one-day visit. He met with Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis. Americans are rushing to cast ballots ahead of the November 3rd election at an unprecedented pace. Early voting numbers show indicating a possible turnout for the showdown between President Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden. This is VOA News. The head of emergencies at the World Health Organization, Dr. Michael Ryan, said Monday the agency's best estimates indicate roughly 1 in 10 people worldwide may have been infected by the coronavirus, more than 20 times the number of confirmed cases, and warned of a difficult period ahead. He spoke to a special session of the WHO's 34-member executive board focusing on COVID-19, and he said the pandemic would continue to evolve, but that tools exist to suppress transmission and to save lives. The U.S. trade gap has reached a 14-year high. AP correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
Gap between the goods and services the U.S. sells and what it buys from other countries jumped nearly 6% in August to $67 billion. That's the highest it has been since August 2006. Exports rose 2%. On a surge in shipments of soybeans, but imports increased more, up 3%, led by purchases of crude oil, cars, and auto parts. So far this year, the U.S. trade gap has increased almost 6% from what it was during the first 8 months of last year. Mike Hemp in Washington.
Three scientists have won this year's Nobel Prize in Physics for their discoveries related to black holes. The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences said today it gave half the $1.1 million prize to Roger Penrose of Britain for using math to prove that black holes are a direct consequence of Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity. Germany's Reinhard Genzel and Andrea Ghez of the United States share the other half of the prize for the discovery of a supermassive compact object at the center of our galaxy. A U.S. judge has ordered Iran to pay $1.4 $5 billion to the family of a former FBI agent believed to have been kidnapped by the Islamic Republic while on an unauthorized CIA mission to an Iranian island in 2007. The judgment this month comes after Robert Levinson's family and the U.S. government now believe he died in the Iranian government's custody, something long denied by Tehran. Tensions remain high between the U.S. and Iran amid President Donald Trump's maximalist pressure campaign over Tehran's nuclear program. U.S. embassy hostage crisis in Tehran. America still holds billions of dollars in frozen Iranian assets that could be used to pay Levinson's family. And meanwhile, COVID-19 infections have shut down the U.S. Senate, but Republicans say they will not delay confirmation of President Donald Trump's pick for the U.S. Supreme Court. Via remote, I'm Joe Palca, and this is VOA News.